Blog Talk Radio.
And we're here for another installment of The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and myself. I'm Gwen Berry. And we're going to open it up with something moody, but good.
The continent of Atlantis was an island which lay before the Great Flood in the area we now call the Atlantic Ocean. So great an area of land that from her western shores those beautiful sailors journeyed to the South and the North Americas with ease in their ships with painted sails. To the east, Africa was her neighbor, across a short strait of sea miles. The great Egyptian age is but a remnant of the Atlantean culture. The antediluvian kings colonized the world. All the gods who play in the mythological dramas, in all legends from all lands, were from fair Atlantis. Fate, Atlantis sent out ships to all corners of the earth. On board were the 12. The poet, the physician, the farmer, the scientist, the magician, and the other so-called gods of our legends. Though gods they were. And as the elders of our time choose to remain blind, let us rejoice and let us sing and dance and ring in the new. Hail Atlantis!
Everybody now.
I'm sorry about that. It wouldn't click back on. But anyway, welcome to the Consciousness Shift. And, you know, Atlantis did not survive their dark age. And Europe did. This globe has since. And the histories we know about, we've watched dark ages come before. And I think we are coming out of a dark age. In fact, that's what the Maya tell us. You know, that's what that calendar was all about. We are rebirthing into an age of light. We're coming out of some dark ages. And when you do, everything becomes super exposed. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Super exposed. So we are coming out of a dark age and going into an age of light. And it's just like Donovan says, you know, it's like our elders right now, our community has many that are saying one thing, but the majority of leadership on the planet is caught up in this, you know, endless kind of a twist. But people make a difference, and we see it all the time. Anyways, just like Atlantis, and Atlantis seems to be rising again. So
it's amazing that you say that, because that's exactly what the Pele report clip is about that we'll play a little later. It's like everything you just said. Did you hear it this week?
I missed it.
Nice.
I've got it. I posted it. But I only, like, listened to the first few minutes. I've been so busy, and people have been at my bench a lot. And so it's been hard to put aside the time to just sit back and listen. I'll tell you what, I've been working pretty hard. So at the end of the day, I'll, like, just go into the other part of the house and collapse. So.
Yes. Well, it's funny. It just goes to show that you're right on time. You're right on time. I think it's so interesting when you find an astrologer that really talks to you, or a teacher or whatever, and especially with the astrologers, when you follow them every week, so many times they're talking about exactly what's going on with you. And then sometimes I find when I'm doing really well with myself, a lot of those things aren't really necessarily about my planets or like what I'm going through, but I can understand and I see other people going through that. So, you know, it's not always about you, but what you just said is exactly what he's talking about, coming out of this old paradigm, of course, and moving into the other age. Every time I hear anyone say about the dark ages, it just reminds me of the fact that this is what we thought would be fun, to go far into the darkness and see how good we are to come right back into the light. Look at that. We went down into the depths and we have risen. I think that's why we like the Jesus story so much. We relate.
Well, that's a really ancient, it's like, I'll go back to Donovan's intro to Atlantis. That's the regeneration god is one of the first myths, you know, and it got most popular with Tammuz, but it became almost global with Osiris and the east side of the planet. The Far East has their own heroes that were regeneration gods. Jesus was the last one. He was just the last one.
Yep.
And who knows what lies down the road. So.
Yeah, and if you're any kind of Pisces or Aries, I mean, that's all about death and rebirth. I mean, that's my week, the week of, I think it's the 17th to the 24th, the whole, what is it called when you're in between signs like that?
On the cusp?
On the cusp, thank you. That's the cusp of death and rebirth, because you've ended a cycle with Pisces and you've started a new one with Aries. So, and I think we do that all the time. Apparently, according to one of the teachers, Bashar, he says we're dying and being reborn every second, because we're constantly changing and we're constantly moving through dimensions, different realities, and in a blink of the eye, we don't even know it. So he said, you're dying and being reborn all the time. So what?
Yeah, I was going to say, that one's a little out there for me, because I always think of it as in shamanic terms. And so therefore the process is a ritual, is a part of life cycle. So I want to observe it, not just blink through.
Right, exactly. And it is a life cycle. It's really just where your consciousness is,
yeah,
and where your vibration is. Everything looks the same. I mean, there's millions of infinite, you know, vibrational places that you can be, places, quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
So, but I think that's really interesting. And I think sometimes that's when, I don't know if you ever have this feeling, Gwen, but like just out of nowhere, you kind of feel like a whoa, like something changed.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm starting to wonder if that's, you know, maybe like a time where you switch like in a big way, and you may not even be doing anything or concentrating on it, but it's still happening. I like to think of these quantum shifty things. quote.
Well, I'll tell you what, they were talking about how the fish are running again off our East Coast here. It's been a while. We have a tropical fish that's very good eating that the town I grew up in was named after, Pompano. And it's running again. All of a sudden, it's come out of nowhere. But yet, in the Gulf Stream itself, coming out of the Gulf, you know, there's lots of poisons and abnormalities. Yet our East Coast, the dolphin, which are dolphin fish, I'm not talking about the porpoises. I'm talking about what they call mahi-mahi on the menu. Mm-hmm. And they're running big time out there. People are out there fishing like it's nobody's business because it's plentiful.
Wow.
And that's something, too. You know, you're seeing the dark reflection and then the light reflection, even with Mother Earth. So... Yeah, but you don't know how much mercury is in those guys. I don't know. I ate dolphin that came in on a catch fresh. It tasted very good. I'm really anxious for some fishermen that I know locally to bring some pompano in, because I only ate that once when I was little, and I still remember. It was really special. So... Okay, I don't know what that had to do with it. But it's the recycling, the regeneration,
yeah.
God. It's, you know, nature will regenerate. Should we really devastate the planet and put it down? Once humanity is off the surface of the planet, the regeneration of nature should be mystifying and exceptionally wonderful, because whatever grows and lives will be a whole big schism of the DNA we have right now. It's going to evolve one way or another, and if it's like nuclear or whatever, it's still, there's beauty in life, so...
Yeah, and the adaptation. I mean, we are part of the whole idea. The Earth wouldn't be the Earth without humans on it, really. I mean, we're a big part of the experiment here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that one, 100%.
But I have to say, maybe it's obvious, but I think it's worth saying again, that the more that we raise our own consciousness and raise our own awareness, these things will regenerate in a rapid rate because of where we are. And naturally, you know, when you're living with nature, everything works out. You can have whatever you want, you know, eat whatever you want, grow whatever you want. But you just don't do certain things because you have a smarter way, like cleaner energy. I mean, the fact that we have cleaner energy already and have had it since Nikola Tesla and probably beyond, you know, it's here. It's just a matter of us waking up and going, no more dirty crap. We want to do the clean thing because also it's better for our abundance, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm all about waking up.
I agree 100%. I really do. I wonder, what did Kai Patch and what did the Paley Report bring us to this week? I have a feeling there's a dark moon rising, but I'm wondering what he had to say.
Well, he said, I just took a clip. I took about a 5-minute clip. So if you really want to hear, in the beginning, he tells you a lot of the astrological positions. So I kind of skipped that. So if you want to check him out, it's the Paley Report. If you put in Tom Lesher, R-E-S-C-H-E-R, in YouTube, you can hear the whole thing. So, but he did say that Mars is, there's like a, the moon, I think, is like eclipsing Mars kind of a thing. Like it's a really tight pass and it's right around now. It's, I think he said it was Friday and today Saturday. So that may be also what you're feeling. But why don't you go ahead and play it? And then I stopped him before he gave the mantra. I just figured I could say it quicker.
Well, go ahead. Do it.
Oh, you're on. Yeah.
Yeah. It was me. And I didn't smoke. Anyway,
it's Nick Paley, July 2nd. It may be the last one since I just recently uploaded it.
Okay.
Sometimes it goes to the bottom.
Got it. We're going.
Great.
We're playing Tom.
The final timing for doing Cancer, and especially this Cancer in opposition to Pluto in Capricorn and squaring Uranus in Aries. And like I've been talking about, you know, ever since this Uranus came in to square with Pluto, you know, a couple of years now, you know, it is about redefining our identities, who we are. Are we sons and daughters? Are we employees? Are we bosses? Are we defined by our job, by our nation, by our religion? How do you define yourself? How do you identify yourself? This is what is really changing as Uranus came into Aries to square Pluto. The Pluto in Capricorn is external authority. Popes, bishops, presidents, fashion models, Hollywood, telling us, be this, be that, be the other thing. And Uranus is coming around in Aries saying no. And the Sun and Jupiter in Cancer is saying, I've got to listen to myself. I've got to listen to my feelings, to my truth, to my original core being. I can no longer play your game. And yes, Saturn moving through Scorpio, the North Node moving through Libra, Mars in Libra, these all going on since last December, has been also calling us forward into relationship. So we define ourselves now, not by pulling out of relationship and pulling out of partnership and going hiding in the woods and hiding our heads under the sand or avoiding confrontation. No, it's actually that, you know what? We get to see ourselves, we get to see our identity, we get to really feel who we are in the context of the other. So the Mars and the North Node, which are coming into conjunction, and then this weekend the Moon occults Mars, comes right in front of it and hides it. That's how tight the conjunction is of the Moon and Mars this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah.
On Friday, Saturday, and by Sunday it's moved on. And then Moon's conjunct the North Node of herself. And so this is just really about, and Cancer Jupiter, Cancer Sun, is I come into myself, my truth, like I said last week. Yeah, that underworld of water, the underworld of feeling where I am my own truth. And my own truth is my own feeling and my own intuition. And from that place, then I am renewed and rejuvenated. And I emerge and I come out and I show myself, I bear myself to the other, to the world, to everyone, and be vulnerable. And I expose this new identity, even though I'm like, it's even new to me. It's like we are new to ourselves, and we are to, you know, the task is now to expose this vulnerable new identity to the world and to other people. And to not stay in cancer and to not stay shy and not stay afraid. So Pluto in Capricorn is calling us out. Yeah, it's saying, you know, come up, grow up, come out, show yourself. And it's going to take guts and it's going to take courage and it's going to take, you know, some maturity to stand in that truth in public. Anybody can stand in their own truth in the closet. Hopefully. If you can't stand in your own truth in the closet, you're in big trouble, man. But to stand in your own truth, you know, in front of the boss, in front of the teacher, in front of the spouse, in front of the kids, in front of other people and say, this is who I am. I can do this. I can't do that. I do know this. I don't know that. I'm really good at this. I'm totally afraid of that. So this moon going through Virgo now is these couple of days, you know, of really feeling, you know, am I ready? Get my shit together. Prepare myself like the bride or the groom for the wedding. And then that moon goes into Libra. And it says, let's get together. Let's unite. Let's relate. Let's connect. So there's just these different ways of connecting. And that's what the mantra is about today.
So that was quite a sound. He was standing in front of a rushing brook.
Well, I'll tell you what, he's talking about having the courage to be authentic, to be true to yourself, correct?
Yeah, and that's what the mantra is all about. It is, I am now powerful, upright, and strong, expressing a truth that is mine alone, not posing and posting so as to be seen, but opening like a rose blooming in spring. And he was saying that the rose doesn't really care what anyone thinks of it. It knows it's beautiful and it's opening and blossoming because it wants to. And you can think whatever you want about it. So, and then he said that there are needy ways of connecting, and then there's also the way of connecting of giving or contributing, offering something new. So however you express this, it's really about self, you know, being powerful, upright, and strong in yourself.
Yeah.
And then it never is needy. It's always, you know, an offering and an exchange.
It's about, yeah, and it sounds as if we're being challenged to be authentic. The more authentic we are, the more we're going to align with what is wagging in the universe at the moment. And the less authentic we are, the more we're going to stand out as being non-resonant in what's happening right now.
Yeah. And which level your reality is going to be on with how authentic and true to yourself you really are. And so I think this whole thing with Cancer and like Mars, you know, getting hidden a little bit, because I've been feeling it. It's just like a lot of details and a lot of little things are coming up, and a lot of them can be attached to emotions, and you may be surprised that this little thing evokes such stress or such worry. And so I think this is the time, but before, just before, we're all feeling the go. And now we're like, okay, where are all my ducks? Where's all my things? You know, are we ready? Are we ready? Do we got this, people? What's happening? You know?
I see what you're saying there is that you feel like this is us getting cleaned, our clocks getting cleaned before we keep new time. Is that correct?
Very.
I mean, I'm speaking in metaphors, but I'm talking about shifts of consciousness that are taking over little by little by little.
Yeah.
In a more, in the more planetary consciousness realm.
Right, because they say that by 2015 and into 16, we're off and running. Like, the beginning stage has ended. The qualifying rounds are done. Wherever you are is where you are. And then it will become the next phase. And I think it's just going to be more of a lot of what we've been seeing and more trials of, you know, our strength. And then, you know, who knows, maybe other things that no one's thought of yet, right? Uh-huh. But I think those are like the basic things that we will be working on. So the more little work you can do now, I think maybe that's part of if you're feeling a little overwhelmed, because I know I was, just with a lot of little details, just know that's what you're doing. You're double checking everything and getting your whole community, what, and that could be you, yourself, and you, ready to come out. And also figuring out who you are. I think you start to see more of, okay, I've got this. This still apparently is a thing that I need to look at. You know, I think it's taking inventory before the, you know, you drive cross country. What do you think, Gwen?
Well, I have to say that it's working out. I mean, I when you put it in those terms, I can see where there's been a whole lot of extra creativity injected into being here and being me and working with what I do in my business. And my business is, of course, all about helping to, you know, establish the shift of consciousness. I create the tools to work that way. And I have two new people that are coming in and working. I mean, in other words, the ducks are getting in a row, like you said, to be ready to take on whatever it is the next step is.
Nice.
So in my world and in my life, I'm seeing that I see some manifest representation of that. Yes, ma'am.
Nice. Yeah, and then this idea with Pluto, because he said right now we're breaking free, we're coming forth, and face Pluto, don't hide in the closet. So I was wondering, I know a little bit about Pluto, but I'd be interested to hear, how would you explain the vibration of Pluto?
Run, hide, go someplace else, get a new universe.
Really? Why? Because he's the guy on the edge? He just comes in and out of our solar system?
No. It's the extremity.
Ah.
Now, I created a group of solar essences that are resonant with each of the planets in our solar system to help us get to know our astrological alignments. And I'm going to go to that and give you some information that I came up with after a long bit of study, and I'm no astrologer. I am basically just, you know, the blender and a student, but you can find information that you need to introduce yourself, you know, to all the different planets and to work with them, just like we're doing now with the show and listening to Tom and relating it. You follow where I'm going or coming from?
Yeah, to understand the energies of these different planets, because they are forces that affect us, and we've come to understand them this way. So, you know,
yeah.
A lot of times just the name, and maybe you have a visual cue, can bring you to, you know, if you think of Neptune, it's just so watery and so large, and you know, you've got the nebulous, and but it's, you know, it's a big papa and like all these different things. And then Pluto, that weird guy out there, we're even not sure if he's a planet or not. We don't know if he belongs.
It's a planetary influence.
Sure.
And it influences our astrological resonance at the time we're born in a deep way. And like I said, I call my essence Plutonian extremity essence because it is extreme. That's the last planet. That's the last group of issues. It's the rebirth that you must face. And I'll tell you how I describe it. How do I face the inevitable? Do I surrender to my own death? This is about my transitions. I'm expanding my conceptions of life, death, and rebirth. And when you are in Plutonian influences, you are the mirror. Your DNA memory releases, your fears, and the evolution of your consciousness is going to collide and regenerate as a pulsing resonance of who you are in essence. The cycle, it just cycles the waves of your time. It makes you sacred unto yourself. You actually, going through your Plutonian steps, you become the I am all that is. It triggers crucial transitional cycles in your life. This is where you lose family. These are huge, huge ones. These are the megalithic dolmens, the stones on your path in life. It enlightens you to nature, the nature of decadence, death, and the resolution of rebirth through the experience of failure, loss, and death. Pluto represents the archetype of extremes and also of ecstasy, sexual, decadent, and renewing. Okay, all extreme personal power is stimulated in a relationship to Pluto. Spiritual development manifests under these influences, and deeper mysteries become revealed. So if we're walking with Pluto right now, yeah, honey, we're doing the jiggle. Pluto also reflects the constellation of Scorpio, and it's a fixed sign with an elemental complement of water. Scorpion nature is intensity. It's about intellect, fastidiousness, decisiveness. Physical and passionate are the demonstrative attributes of Scorpio. So if, you know, this is about the greater changes, the huge changes in our life. Did I do a good job? I mean,
oh my goodness. That was great, Gwen. Wow, it really makes, it's a very comprehensive understanding of Pluto, really.
Well, there's an essence that's charged with that energy.
Oh, wow.
That you can work with to help you address the different issues in your resonant Plutonian area of the chart, you know, because I'm going through my second Saturn return, but a Plutonian opposition in the midst of it has got me dealing with physical issues, you know, serious physical issues. So it's serious. Well, I'm still hair kicking, right?
Yeah.
But
in terms of life ideas of, you know, what you're dealing with, yeah, that's such a great analogy of the big stones on your path, you know.
Big dolmens, the big megaliths. It's like you're running into your own personal Stonehenge now.
Well, I mean, I think that's what it's all about. I think that's exactly what it's all about. But I've been told that I have like a lot of Plutonian influence in my chart. But that was like the greatest explanation of like what that really means. And I think when you look at any of the planets, they're going to mean different things to you, and you're going to resonate with different ones.
Oh yeah, and it's different influences through different lenses. This is Pluto on its own. But if you have a great deal of, I will tell you this, this I do know from looking at reading so many books and coming into understanding the different solar influences and studying astrology, there's a great many charts of great personalities or archetypes in the human story that had a lot of Plutonian influence. Mm. It's like, you know, do it or die.
That's exactly how I feel every day. You gotta laugh at yourself, right? I mean,
you do. I mean, that's also a big party, of it.
Yeah, it sure is. That's funny because it was at a party that someone people are asking me about spirit therapy, and I say, you know, what it's about, and it's also like understanding the things that this is such an interesting thought to translate. Hold on.
Sure, I'm here to listen. I am.
By giving yourself more credit for who you are and really just being who you are, and then also realizing that you're not perfect, that nobody's perfect, and why would you want to be, really? Because that perfect, that means you're not learning anything else. You're just here helping others.
That's an automaton, if you ask
right.
me. I mean, people would always talk about when I was in the shop, and people would say, well, the thing we're doing here is finding samadhi. We're going to find our nirvana. And it's like, you know, y'all keep it.
Yeah.
I'll take the pirate ship out there in the cove, thank you very much. You know?
Absolutely.
And people didn't, the people who did not understand it, you know, that was, I was trying to give them a clue, a hint. Instead of spending all the money to move to the mountains and then coming back going, what the fuck? You know, it's
yeah. I was listening to an Alan Watts last night. It's called Beliefs. It's amazing. And he was talking about exactly that. He said the idea of a bodhisattva is a Buddha-like person who is here to live life and do their thing and, you know, be in the world while carrying their Buddha-like nature with them. And being able to balance both. It's not about going and reaching this state of that nothing is touching you and you're just in complete source. Well, then you might as well be complete source. Like, what's the point of the body when you're doing that? It's about living here and doing things.
I agree. Well, and you got to, you know, we have certain exemplifiers put before us, and usually they're in the spiritual realm or the religious caste of people, the serious, the crown chakras that are either full-blown open and connected up, which can leave you without an anchor. I mean, look at the Tibetan monks who spend 20 years contemplating levitation and finally achieve levitation for, you know, 4 to 6 to a foot, 12 inches off the ground, and they're able to maintain it for serious amounts of time. Well, that's really nice, and it provides an exemplifier to us of how focused concentration and energy and will that has been, you know, given over to something else, the other, completely, can achieve certain things, but that's just one trick pony.
Right.
And that's not what we're about anymore. We're leaving Pisces, okay? We're leaving all of that for Aquarius. We are about to redefine humanity, not just on a consciousness level, but also physical DNA structure. So
yeah.
take your one trick pony back to the barn, most.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I will add that I think that there are beings here that it is about maintaining a energy standard and bringing, being like a beacon, just being here in a body and
yes.
filtering that. So I think if that's your calling, that's also has to be included. But I think that us, most of us that came here to also live life and enjoy this planet here, it's about being able to stand in yourself and connect back with your source, your true who you are, and let the dark grid that has been here for so long just fade away. And then, and I think it's, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, this is the perfect thing for us to be able to wake ourselves up, because it's pushing on all the things that we want as humans, you know, with our abundance and a healthy planet. So it's the greatest catalyst. There's, what else could be this powerful to wake us up, but when you really squeeze us like that? So we're right on time.
It's quite true. But, you know, as you were pointing out, with all of these lenses, these astrological or solar planetary lenses, focusing us in specific directions that are really pretty, until the end of August, we still have the effects of that grand cardinal cross going on. And Pluto does prominently... I want to say, and I'm losing my vocabulary here, shame, opposition and squares with Pluto have been there, and so these lenses are saying, you know, well, as my grandmother used to say, sure, get off the pot, you know, make a choice, you know, move it along, and it is about personal authenticity, you know? Mm-hmm. You can share your journey and give so much more rather than reflecting somebody else's journey that has been given to you and very authentically on that end, but, you know, just to parrot somebody else just isn't cutting it. Am I putting that the right way?
Yeah. Yeah, because then you're not being your full true story. You're being sort of somebody else's and some of yours.
Well, compare it. But the other part of that is also true. There are people out there who are just not ready to take complete responsibility for themselves yet. And all of the things that are going on around us are the triggers and catalysts that are saying this is what happens when you do not take complete responsibility and be completely authentic, because you lose grip on what matters most, and that's not money or all of the things that the glitterazzi and the, you know, yada, yada, yada has going down. It's about the substance of who you are, right? I mean, the substance of soul that we're conjuring, bad word, that we're creating in this life cycle, mm-hmm. you know, and understanding that. It's not so hard, you know. You don't have to give up people. Well, you know me, I'm not a rule player, so yeah, I don't spend a lot of time worrying about the rules. And that can get in my way, too. That can be inflexible also. But right now we're being asked to be very elastic, very expandable, very allowing and trusting and having faith. And it's all in us, not in the Mayan prophecy, not in the, you know, and then there's some good stuff out there, the five Don Ruiz's agreements. The Celestine Prophecies, Jim Redfield's insights. There's been some wonderful information coming through, and there still is. But we're supposed to mold that in our own clay, you know. We're supposed mm-hmm. to put that on ourselves and become the lens, let it become a lens for us to see through and create our own vision with. I don't know if I'm getting that out correctly.
Yeah, very, very well. Very well. And it just brings me to trust. It's like when we go down this road, you always have the same cornerstones there, and then you come to trust.
Yeah, and I got to say, for all my blah, 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 I still get up on that beach ball or on the logs of on the river, you know, and tread with fear and worry. And oh, we all do it.
Yeah.
It's part of what is going on right now.
Right. And that was what I was, the rest of what I was going to say, that no matter who you are and how much you know, to understand how much you know, but also to know that you're here living and you're going to go on the ride too. I mean, that's what this one lady said to me when I told her about spirit therapy, and I said, you know, it's about people living happier lives. And she said, I said, you know, we all go through that wobble and that, you know, fear and worry. And she said, does that happen to you? I said, of course it does. I mean, just because you're a life coach or you're a spirit therapist, whatever, does not mean that you're not still going through it. I think you should go through it. And that's what really teaches you what not only you're going through, but other people are going through. And she said she has a therapist she goes to, and right now he's dealing with a parent that's dying. And so he's in the hospice stage. And, you know, I understand that from watching my cat go through that. I mean, you know, it's a different level, but it's the same thing. It's that living with death. So apparently this guy is kind of having a hard time with it. But it doesn't make him a bad therapist. I'm sure he's very good at what he's doing. But especially if you're intuitive and you're doing that, living around, you know, a parent that's dying can be very difficult. But exciting at the same time, because you have to learn so much about yourself.
Well, sometimes I don't know if I achieved that when my mom was crossing. I was in deep grief and fear, sure, and doing the best I could to put a happy face on for her, or a strong face, you know, mm-hmm, like, I'm going to be here, I'm going to do okay, don't you worry about me.
Yeah.
I remember that. But I do know this, I know that authenticity is about, and we achieve it, you know, in moments more and more, and then we go through periods of time when we part of our authenticity, especially being in this community and working towards, you know, a planetary consciousness and a conversion from, you know, all of what's set out there right now, that patriarchal, we won't go there, Gwen won't get into it right now.
But that.
That stuff. One of the things that authenticity demands is that we are honest enough to allow people to see our weakness, that we can share that, we can say, I was wrong, or I am wrong, or to understand that people will try to pick apart who we are. You know, I mean, especially if you're putting yourself out there to be a leader or to offer your assistance and help. I mean, you're going to get picked at.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to develop graciousness, because it just doesn't work out to be. I mean, the only time I can think of on this show when I've been out and out against somebody was, I did a long spew on Sylvia Brown, because I really, and I stand by what I said, is she brought a lot of hardship out there to people, you know? And I think that she's an example of where not to go.
when you goes too.
Phew.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But we're in a period of time right now when it's like a roller coaster. you're up on top, and then you're sliding down, and then you're up on top. And you know what? That's character. That's building your mettle. That's testing your mettle. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Yeah. It's a different kind of warriorship.
Yeah.
You know? I remember years ago, good Lord, I can't believe I say this anymore. It just went so quickly. But, you know, 20 years ago when we were in the shop and people were getting, I mean, a lot of people were getting ready to move to Carolina just to get away from the rapture. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on. I gotta tell you, I totally lost where I was gonna go. Is that odd? I mean, really, I totally lost that one. I don't know why either. I have no idea. It was like spirit just came and plucked it right out of my head. You're not going to share that.
No. Well, the only thing I can remember is 20 years ago when you had the shop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. You remember that part too? Yeah, I mean, that definitely happens. And I think that's a perfect example of not having to be perfect all the time. I mean, like, I think it's not the way to go, actually. You know, like, people, especially when you're tuning into spirit and you're having these lofty thoughts, you know, that's a whole different dance and way of communicating and formulating words. So, you know.
Well, and when you hit your 40s, your late 40s and your early 50s, and that happens, like, you know, going on here, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this, Alzheimer's disease or something? You know, it does start to get to you, and a lot of people are experiencing this memory loss. It's like a short-term memory thing going on. There's a lot of it out there. I'm not freaking out about it, but, you know, I've heard it mentioned so often, especially in this community.
Well, and younger people are doing that as well, and they're blaming it. They're coming up with all kinds of excuses for it, too. You know, oh, you know, I smoke too much weed, or, oh, you know, I'm so scatterbrained.
It couldn't be interdimensional, you know, multidimensional phasing or anything like that. No.
I mean, I don't know what else to call it. I mean, honestly, I think it's about moving through different things and having so many different thoughts that sometimes the thought you were on is not the thought that's happening 3 seconds later, and you already pushed away like 200 or more of them. So there's a lot of information, and I think that's also part of our tuning in, whether we are thinking about tuning in or not. I think that, you know, different frequencies are coming through. So sometimes in your brain, you go, you're saying something, your mouth is moving, but then you're like, what? Oh, that's interesting. Oh, what? And then, you know, you're 9 steps away. You're like, where was, hello?
It's true.
Yeah. So I think it's all right. I think, you know, whatever, you forgot it, let's keep it moving. You know, does it matter at the end of the day? No. Like they say, one of the Basharas is, your brain is not a filing cabinet. If you need to know it, it will be right there. The only reason it won't be there is if you're worried about it being there. And if it's not there, it wasn't meant to be there, and it's not important, so keep it moving.
Well, it can be awfully embarrassing.
I think people need to get over that. That just means your brain is working, and you have thoughts, a lot of them, so awesome.
I guess so.
That's what I think.
Oh, man. Well, we're almost up to the hour. We've got about 5 minutes left. And I want to thank everybody who's listened in today. I want to say hello to our guests in chat, and thank them for listening. And hi, Chris. Nice to see you. and remind everybody that tomorrow is the Sunday show at 6 p.m., and it is pro-political talk with our guest will be David Williams. I'm also looking to get somebody else in there who's a little more radical than David, a little bit like me, because David's pretty even, but the other guys are pretty even too and conservative, kind of. So we're discussing independence.
You want to rustle up the pot?
Well, really, I am a person who no longer supports boundaries and borders. So yesterday's independence, I came out here and I started typing on the computer and with my coffee, and all of a sudden I'm whistling "Oh, Beautiful for Spacious Sky." And I'm like, what the heck, you know, and mother's in the house, you know. I was like, I was getting a little visitation. So I actually made up a little poster that's, you know, the first stanza of America the Beautiful, that's more planetary, you know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Not America, America, it's Mother Earth, Pachamama, you know?
Yeah. I always feel that way about 4th of July. Like, I feel like it kind of pisses me off in a lot of different ways. And, but, you know, at the end of the day, if it's people coming together, having a good time, well, then, you know, it's worth it. That's how I justify it. But I agree, you know, all of this, like, rah-rah America. I've kind of felt it with the World Cup, too. I mean, I think, you know, sports and competition and all those things are a great thing. But, you know, it's when it's taken too seriously, and especially if you know anything about what's going on in the world and what your country is doing, yeah. You know, can you really sit there in a bar and go, USA, USA? You're like, really? Because, you know, I don't know. I don't know that we deserve that chant right now or that it should ever be about, like you said, borders. I have to agree with you.
I applaud your statement. Totally applaud your statement. Of course, you know I'm there anyways. I'm also, if there's somebody in the bar that's saying, go Israel, I'm the first one to say, you mean the apartheid state? Okay.
Exactly.
The world is wagging mad right now. It's part of our shift. And the more we can put positive energy, I think you're right. If people are celebrating with good heart, you know, that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. If they're peaceful and they're enjoying, that's a nice resonance.
Right. And it is important, I think, to love where you live, you know, the earth that you're on. And we use the word America, or we use the word, you know, England, whatever. But I think the resonance also of that love is a good thing, just not getting it twisted, you know. It's all about the paradox. Everything can be good or bad, however you want to go.
I think it's really important to, well, for me, my journey has been that every place I've ever lived or visited, I can remember and I carry a piece of that within me. And that's my home, all of it. And I love and support all of those places, those people, that architecture, those ancient whatevers, those new, brand new pieces of art and sculpture, everything that makes up a community that's fixed and anchored on the land or wherever. I mean, I've been out to sea and thought of that too. I mean, looking across the Dry Tortugas. All of it's within us, and all of it's home to me.
Yeah, sure. And that's anchoring, and that because you feel things about that place, you have love for that place, so it's anchoring you more into the earth. So it's a good thing. So there you go. You know.
And I want to remind everybody, we've got 60 seconds. So I want to remind everybody that on Monday night at 7 p.m. you can tune in to Spirit Therapy with Nicole Tomazzini. And also remember, you can get a hold of Nicole via her website. Well, that is not yet, right?
Not yet, yeah.
Okay, well, through Here Be Monsters. Or find Nicole Tomazzini on Facebook and message her or her Spirit Therapy page.
Cool. Thanks, Gwen.
And we're We are brought to you by Daughters of Isis, the Ancestor Aromacology. So go on over. It's daughtersofisis.com. Find us. See what we're making over there. A lot of good new stuff coming out, too.
Yeah.
A lot of bathing, feeling good with bathing.
Awesome. Perfect for the cancer.
There you go.
Awesome. Thanks, Gwen. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back next Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. for the Consciousness Shift with Nicole Thompson and myself, Gwen Berry. Bye-bye.